AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you on an absolutely gorgeous day in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Matt, Hunter here.
Hello.
Hunter, we're mailing it in today.
Ooh.
We're mailing it in. Coming up in a little bit later on, we got a Democrat of the day is Ruth Richardson. She's running out in the Southeast Metro. We'll talk about her race as she's getting ready to try to capture a House seat over there from a Republican, which is we need to take these metro area Republicans. We need those seats to go to the Democrats to get that House back in the Democrats' hands. That's an important issue. We'll talk with Ruth a little bit later on. But right now, joining us, a fan favorite here at AM 950, Trace Beliu is, of course, Dr. Clayton Forrester from Mystery Science Theater 3000, of course, Cinematic Titanic, the podcast, the movie sign with the Mads. And the Mads Are Back is coming back to Minneapolis on Wednesday and Thursday as they'll be at the Riverview Theater. And Trace is kind enough to join us today. Hey, Trace.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I'm glad to see you guys are back on the road. Frank, of course, Frank Conniff going out with you. TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater 3000. You've done this tour now. Is this the third year or second year you've done this tour?
This is the third year. We're well into our third year. We've done over 130, 140 shows. We were just in London doing a show over there. They enjoy Mystery Science Theater. There's only like 12 fans, but they came out to support us.
Really? I would. It surprised me because when I was in the military, when the original MST3K came out, and I would get occasionally videotapes sent to me over in Nuremberg, Germany, and we would watch them. And I had the good chunk of the barracks rolling with you guys as we watched the old VHS tapes. And it did translate to the Germans. The Germans kind of got it a little bit over there. So it's good to see you guys going international.
Yeah, we'd love to play more shows over there. And we do run into a lot of guys that were in the military that have that same experience. And it's really, it's like, it's a good thing that's the only way we could help the military. Because we would be total anchors to any platoon or any deployment. We'd go, you want to go get the dumb guys to help?
They had me. Think about that for a second. I was your first line of defense. That should scare you enough right there. You do two different shows. This is one of the benefits too. When you do coming in for two nights, it's two different movies. One movie on Wednesday night, one movie on Thursday. Right?
That is correct. Every time we come to a town, and if we come back to a town, we do completely different films each performance. That way, we hope people keep coming back, and it keeps us fresh and on our toes as well. So we've got. We've got a really good movie Wednesday night, and then not a really good movie the next night. But they're both terrible. am I selling these well?
As you do, absolutely. Because now I'm. Can you mention the movies, or is this going to be a surprise?
We're going to do a surprise, just in case we decide not to do anything. We break out a bunch of ukuleles and have a sing along. No, there will be bad movies. We promise you they will be in the flavor of the Mystery Science Theater film quality, if any of those words belong together. But 7:30, I think, each night, and you can still get tickets at the Riverview.com.
Okay, and once again, RiverviewTheater.com. It's RiverviewTheater.com for tickets, and it is tomorrow night and Thursday night. I highly recommend this show. It's hilarious with Trace and Frank. If you don't mind, though, if I could branch out into a few other subjects since I have you.
Oh, absolutely.
I love talking to you about movies. The last time you and I talked, we lamented a little bit about this Marvel Cinematic Universe. Since the last time we talked to you, they have released what are going to end up being two $700 million domestic releases in Black Panther and in this Infinity War. And they don't see, and let's face it, Black Panther was a great movie. I thought Infinity War was pretty good. Black Panther was phenomenal. I mean, and the villains were good.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredibly, you brought up, it's incredibly formulaic. It's, guy gets suit, power, spaceship, whatever. Goes out, learns the ropes, fails, comes back, redeems himself, ta-da, finish, roll the credits and the extra scenes at the end. But yet they keep making these things so good that they only seem to get bigger and bigger. And now they're estimating that Ant-Man and the Wasp could be over $400 million for that run when that comes out later this summer.
Oh, you're kidding. You're kidding. And is Deadpool part of this MCU, or is he a separate guy, separate thing?
Well, he's owned by the Fox guys. 20th Century Fox has them. But 20th Century Fox is trying to unload the X-Men. I think it was Sony had the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, and Sony and Spider-Man and the Disney guys made a deal to get Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then you have the X-Men are off on 20th Century Fox, but they're trying to sell all that to Marvel right now. And so technically if that sale goes through, which it's Rupert Murdoch and Trump loves him, so I imagine it will, then they will be part of that same universe, but I don't know. Come on, now we're just getting ludicrous with the amount of people we'd have in a movie. It would be insane.
I know. This last one, Infinity War, it should have been the Infinity cast, because they just, it's like, okay, we got to, here's one more guy we got to talk about. I'm looking forward to the next Infinity War. I loved all of them. My wife was trying to do homework because she hasn't seen Infinity War. We're going to go Friday, and I've already seen it. But she watched all 20 films again.
Wow.
And I said, that's not going to help.
Well, it what's amazing is you talk about the 20 films, and no one would have ever thought this. I mean, there's a throwback to a point of these, like the Buck Rogers serials almost, where, you know, it's this 20-part, 30-part series that would air before the main movie, but only they're doing it with the biggest stars. It's the main movie doesn't matter. It's the serial that matters. And if you and I, when we were younger, when someone said to me, I'm going to make a movie about a superhero and it's going to be one of the top three movies of all time domestically, it's either going to be Superman or Black Panther. You and I would have gone, what? No, it's going to be Superman. Now they can't, Marvel can't, there's not a character they can't turn into a massive franchise.
It's amazing. It's really amazing. And they do a great job. Mm-hmm. These films are really entertaining. They're loaded with humor, which I think is extremely important to keep them moving forward. And I'm thrilled. I feel like I'm a kid again, watching my favorite. Now I don't have to read. I can just watch them.
When you think about Marvel, it's kind of like you have a brand new subdivision that grows and it becomes this thriving area that everyone wants to live in. But I want to turn to the Star Wars movies, because Solo comes out this weekend. And this is sort of like Edina, where they buy a house, they tear it down, and they build a brand new house on top of it. They build a McMansion. So it's not a brand new thing. It's not cultivating a new field. It's basically recycling. And what do you think about this? I mean, this is the first of the original series characters. They're doing a movie about the young Han Solo movie. It so far, it seems like it's got pretty good reviews. A lot of people are saying it's pretty good, but I mean, it feels different when I think about how Marvel has done it, what the Star Wars franchise is trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked Rogue One. I thought that was more of a kind of like a war movie than a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I wasn't hot on the other two that have come out, Last Jedi and Force Awakens. Although I can't say that in public because I get blasted by the fan. How dare you not like it? And it's like, well, no, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said I better go away. But I don't know about Solo. You're right. I love your analogy. That's perfect. It's Solo is a Edina. And I'm from Hopkins, so you know how I feel about that.
I'm living in Hopkins right now, too. So, you know, it does feel... You know, it's interesting. By the way, I think you're not too far off with the latest trilogy of the Star Wars. I think they're entertaining. The first one, The Force Awakens, was fun because we revisited a lot of cast members and you know, iconic moments that was kind of fun. The second one, I didn't think was good. I mean, the Luke part at the end was phenomenal, but I mean, it took a while to get there. They're still a thousand times better than the first. You remember the young Darth Vader trilogy they did, which was that was painful. But
yes.
At the same time, you know, they look at it. I mean, considering Disney owns both Marvel and the Star Wars franchise, they're looking at what Marvel's doing and they're saying, my God, why didn't they do this? Why didn't Lucas start making movies all over the place years ago? And it feels like, I don't know, it feels a little strained. It feels like a little, you know, I don't want to say pathetic, but, you know, they really are desperate to a point. It's like, hey, I know this is an older franchise. I know that these movie characters are somewhat, you know, more traditional, but, you know, hey, look, we're going to make new movies. It'd be sort of like revisiting Gone with the Wind and start doing characters about, you know, the secondary characters in that film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It does have that feeling. And I don't know if it's just because I remember how the first film, before it was even called A New Hope, it was called Star Wars.
Yeah.
And how impactful that was to me as a kid. These films resonate for younger people more than they do for old, crusty guys like me. But I see them and my friends love them, and I'm just like, yeah, that was nice. That was okay. I'm going to see Solo. I will definitely see it. And hopefully it's okay. I don't like to see stuff that's bad. That's how I make my living.
I don't just go randomly and do interviews, you know, with
yes,
people.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and let's face it, you and I discussed a while back the mind-numbing nature of stuff like Fast and the Furious franchise. If we're going to have franchises like this, at least they're good. And even a Star Wars film, because Disney understands the formula of all this, they're not going to put out a complete bomb because they know that they want people to show up for that next film, as opposed to guys going, they got fast cars and showing yeah. up for Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, spoiler. Hey, I haven't seen the last 12 of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry I ruined it for you. Oh, man. And Vin Diesel, he uses mostly monosyllabic words, just FYI.
It's hard to separate Vin Diesel from his franchises and go, oh, which movie are we watching now? Is this Triple X? No, this is Fast and Furious. But he's in a car. I'm confused.
I found it interesting. He got into a fight with Dwayne The Rock Johnson over, you're talking to him about, you know, where your character's going. You brood and you're angry and you drive a car and that's basically all you do. At least Dwayne The Rock Johnson does stuff like Jumanji, which is somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, that was fun. And even, San Andreas was a lot of fun. It was a stupid movie, but it was, you know, it's fun stupid.
You do, of course, and not only do you do the tour here with The Mads Are Back, but also we should mention Movie Sign with The Mads. This is the podcast you do with Caroline Hidalgo. You, Frank, and Caroline do this. How's that going?
That's going great. Carolina keeps us on track. We do it once a week, and she keeps us to task. We just did, and we like to do good movies, too. We don't just do bad movies on the podcast. We just... And it's not really a review, it's a chat about the movies. We just saw The Florida Project, which we thought was grossly overlooked at award time, and a terrific film. Willem Dafoe and this kid, Brooklyn Prince, I believe her name is, fantastic actress. And she's, I don't know how old she is, like 6 or 7 or something like that. So we do tackle films that, you know, are in the good genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that that's important because, and I've talked to you about this before, you watch so many films, you know what a bad film is, but you also learn, you learn a lot of life lessons from seeing people do things wrong. And I think that gives you an incredible insight into when someone does something right. I've actually heard the same thing about Florida Project, that it was a phenomenal film and Dafoe got really robbed of an Oscar in that movie. But I think that it gives you, I mean, it's almost like I wish you guys would do your own, kind of film festival. The problem is I think, you would know, everyone would be expecting you to be ripping on the films as opposed to being able to do a good film. Because I think that if you and Frank sat down and gave us 10 films, which you said, you know what, see these 10 films, they would be phenomenal films.
Yeah, we kind of do that in the podcast, and we've converted, or not converted, but convinced a lot of people to watch some of these rather obscure films, and then other films that are like Cool Hand Luke that may not be obscure, but people may not know it because it was made in 1967. Mm-hmm. But just a terrific movie, fantastic movie. And these things also need to be seen in the theaters. And we play a lot of independents and like Alamo Draft Houses across the country, and the Riverview, which is more of an independent. And there is the spirit of movie going is alive and well across the country, and that's so great to see. And not everyone is glued to Netflix.
Well, but you bring up a great point about like Cool Hand Luke or The Dirty Dozen, good movies that, you know, but they don't get aired as much as they used to. Now they'll do a marathon of Die Hard. And yeah. these great movies. I mean, I showed my kids The Poseidon Adventure, and yes, it was there are some elements of that film which are a little, you know, it's got some. There's got to be a morning after. I mean, the kind of the screaming of the one woman gets a little bit annoying after a while. But you know, it's a phenomenal film, which, you know, you talk about seeing it in a theater when they did the rocking camera effect, like yeah. they're on the water. You know, there are a lot of films like that, but they don't get aired. I mean, TCM, Turner Classic Movies, they try to air some of that stuff, but you don't. Is TNT, TBS, they just decide not to air anything pre-1984 anymore.
Yeah, I think there's more interesting stuff. Like Turner Classic, I don't have cable, but when I go to a hotel that does have it, that's what my channel is locked onto. There's also Filmstruck, which has the Criterion Library, and that's a streaming service that you can join. A lot of good classic films. And then, you know, just there's some great theaters in Minneapolis that play these older films. What's the one northeast? Is it up on Central, or it's up that area? I'm blanking on the name. But they were showing... last time I went by there about a year ago, it was 2001 in 70 millimeter.
Nice. Like,
there's great opportunities to see films in the theater, and I highly recommend that people do that, go out, and also don't talk during the show.
You and I remember the Cooper, I remember the Southtown, the Boulevard Theater. I remember these great theaters, and especially the Cooper, which was they would occasionally show classic Westerns on that big wide pano screen they had. It was just a completely different experience than going to a mall and seeing. And it's not. I think the malls have done better. I mean, the screens aren't like it used to be over when they jammed three movie theaters into a place the size of a Burger King. It's better than that, but it's still at the same time, it was a completely different experience going to see a movie on a screen like that. I mean, it felt like you were being transported.
Yeah, it's such a shame that they took the Cooper out. You know, there's still the Cinerama Dome in L.A. That has that screen size. But that was such a gem. You know, I saw 2001 there. I saw Grand Prix, How the West Was Won. You know, you talk about those epics that they just cannot be replicated. Lawrence of Arabia, mm-hmm. I saw at the Cooper.
Oh, wow.
That, and in 70 millimeter. And if you have a chance to see any of these films like that, you got to go. You owe it to yourself. Take your family. Call up, knock on your neighbor's door, bring them with you. You got to see these films.
Last film I saw at the Cooper was Dragnet. That was the Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks version. But I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark there. And that was, oh my God. But Lawrence, yeah. I can't even comprehend. That would have probably blown my mind to watch Lawrence of Arabia on that screen.
Oh, it was fantastic. And I was watching it on VHS on a crummy little 13-inch, you know, set. And, you know, a good movie is a good movie. But when you can see it in its pristine state, in the way it was meant to be shown, there's nothing else like it.
It shows all the work that went into it, because that's the thing that gets lost on a VHS or even a DVD on a TV screen. You lose the work that was put in there, especially by the cinematography and editing.
Oh, absolutely. And you watch a film on Netflix, and it might not be the right format. We did a podcast about Deliverance, and most of what I remembered about Deliverance was the great cinematography of that, the river, and just how gorgeous that is. Completely lost. The framing is different on the version that they're showing on Netflix, or we're showing. It's a crime. I'm shaking my fist.
Movie Sign with the Mads. Okay, where do we find that podcast with you, Frank Conniff, and Carolina Hidalgo?
That is on Last Podcast Network. It's also on SoundCloud and iTunes. I think those are the best places to listen to it. And it's free. I can't believe it.
I will link to everything on this a little bit later on. And if you, I follow Trace, I follow Movie Sign. Really, it's a lost gem. Listening to him and Frank and Carolina talk about these great movies and what's lost. I mean, it's not riffing on the movies. It's talking about movies, and it's, if you like movies like I do, it's a must listen to. I highly recommend that one. But I also recommend you guys ripping on films, because frankly, Trace and Frank are two of the funniest human beings that I've blessed this planet. For goodness sakes, you're just hilarious. And once again, you are at the Riverview Theater. It is tomorrow night and on Thursday night, right?
That is correct. Tickets are still available. You can get them through the RiverviewTheater.com website. Is that correct?
Riverview.
I think I got it wrong originally.
RiverviewTheater.com, RiverviewTheater.com. Get tickets. And reminder, go both nights, because it's going to be a different show on Wednesday than it is going to be on Thursday. So you can go catch Trace and Frank over there. Trace Bellew, God, I love having you on the air. All my best on the tour. Have great shows here in Minneapolis. And enjoy the rest of the tour, because you're going across the rest of the country through the rest of summer, right?
We are. Our next stop is Pittsburgh, then we go to Austin, Texas, and then Santa Ana, California, Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Denver, Seattle, Wichita, Dallas. We're on the vaudeville circuit. It's crazy.
And you're on a train for some reason. We don't know. You can take a plane, but you're deciding to take a train across the country.
Yeah, that's so we can play cards with the Marx Brothers in the baggage car.
The Mads are back in Minneapolis tomorrow, Thursday, Riverview Theater. Trace, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great week.
You bet. We'll spotlight that interview, and I'll link to everything, including how you can get tickets at theriverviewtheater.com later on today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo, woo, woo.
It's home improvement season, and you know there's lots of projects to tackle. Here's one that won't break the budget. Get your carpet cleaned by Zero Res. If you have pets and kids banging around, you know your carpet needs some love. This month, get 3 rooms Zero Resified, starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I cannot encourage you more. I mean, seriously, this is my highest recommendation. Go catch the Mads. Trace Bellew, Frank Conniff, they're back in town. Of course, Dr. Clayton Forrester and TV's Frank from MST3K. They are at the Riverview Theater. This is, once again, tomorrow night, Thursday night. Different shows both nights. And it would be great if we could sell that out. That would just be phenomenal. You will laugh your caboose off. And I'm dead serious. I think both of these guys are two of the funniest human beings that have ever walked the planet. I think they are just a riot. And I mean, Trace would never agree to that. As a matter of fact, he's probably cursing me for saying that. But at the same time, I'm hard pressed to think of two people who have been more, if you think about it, they've been doing this for like 30 years, almost 30 years. And they're still 10 times funnier than anyone else who does it with new material constantly. They're like Rickles, for goodness sakes. They always are doing new stuff. It's phenomenal. And so, I mean, it's something. Have you ever caught them, Hunter, at all?
No, I haven't.
If you can, you know, go catch the show. But once again, I do want to make a plug for Movie Sign with the Mads. They're great movie podcast, because if you like movies, they talk movies, and they don't talk movies ripping on them. They talk movies about what their love affair with movies and the good movies that are out there. And he's right. There's a lot of movies that, I mean, I showed my kids The Dirty Dozen. I mean, when we were kids, I mean, Dirty Dozen was on every day, basically on TV, but you don't see it anymore. They don't merit that. That was a movie from the 60s. We're not going to air that on TNT or whatever. I mean, they got a Lord of the Rings movie they got to air, or a Harry Potter movie they got to air. So they don't air these things. But, you know, it's important, I think, to remember there are a lot of great films that came out before 1985 that, you know, you can show your kids and show your family and actually enjoy. I'll tell you what, Gary, you're going to have to hold on for a while here, because when we do come on back, Ruth Richardson is running for 52B. She is going to be Democrat of the day. She joins us when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis, or at nokomiscycle.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Are you trying to live stream on Facebook, on YouTube? Tired of no one watching your videos? Well, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, you can have better results. Hi, it's Mike McEntee with The Uptake. We're famous for our live streaming of thousands of events that are watched by millions. I want to help you live stream video like a pro for your cause, your group, or your company. I'm teaching a class on June 9th where you'll learn how to use your phone or a professional camera to deliver the best live experience for your audience. I'll teach you how to attract an audience and how to keep reaching that audience when you're no longer live. Find out what platform works best for what you're trying to do. Sign up now at theuptake.org/classes. Space is limited. Go to theuptake.org/classes to sign up for this June 9th class. There's a $70 charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. That's theuptake.org/classes to learn how to live stream like a pro.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 79. Tonight, clear with a low around 61. Wednesday, a chance for rain with a high near 82. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 91. Did you know that 80% of homes need help with air sealing and insulation? The Green Home Doctor will work with you to make your home less leaky and more comfortable in both the winter and summer. They use special equipment to test your airflow and make your home more comfortable. So stay cool this summer with the Green Home Doctor. Visit greenhomedr.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week is Bad Waitress, the 700 Central in Northeast Minneapolis location. Try their version of Bangers and Mash. It's actually quite good, very tasty. A lot of great food on their menu. Stop on out and enjoy. It's Bad Waitress, 700 Central Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis, the EatLocalMinnesota.com Restaurant of the Week. Democrat of the day is from 52B. Ruth Richardson is running as the DFL candidate down there to try to win back that seat for the Democrats, and she's kind enough to join us today. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I have to admit, it's just a gorgeous day. To a point, I get a little envious of you guys when you get to go out and do door knocking and stuff because, oh, I've got to go outside right now. Bye.
It's glamorous, but someone has to do it.
Yeah, very much so. You are, of course, running 52B, which the Republicans currently hold. This is a seat that the Democrats very easily could pick up. So why don't we start with explaining who exactly is Ruth Richardson?
Sure. So I actually was born and raised in Minnesota. My family made the decision to choose Minnesota as their home before I was born. My parents were from the South, and they came here in search of economic opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that they really instilled in each of us, you know, a large working class family with four brothers and three sisters, is the value of hard work. I was the first person in my family to go to college, and I worked three jobs to put myself through law school while raising two young children. And I have used sort of my experience and resources to try to build a better Minnesota. So my decision to run has really been based on the fact that I've been doing this work behind the scenes in the community, really trying to build a stronger state.
What was there a specific catalyst that said, okay, enough's enough, it's now time for me to run?
You know, I think the 2016 election was a wake-up call for a lot of people. I made the decision to run after being asked by several people who said, hey, have you ever thought about running? You know, oftentimes for women candidates, I think the average is that it takes women being asked seven times to run before they throw their hat in the ring. So I definitely had some encouragement from those who thought that I could do some really good work at the state capitol.
So you're going to go for 52B. Explain exactly where is 52B. It's down the Southeast Metro, right?
It is. So it's made up of Sunfish Lake, Invergrove Heights, Northern Eagan, and Mendota Heights.
And it's one of those districts in the Southeast. There's a lot of districts that generally get pretty tight in most election years. It's a, you know, a 51-49 or a 52-48 district. I mean, there's usually a pretty tight race. But when we look at what we've seen across the country and the numbers that are coming out from these kind of surveys of the public and where exactly they're at politically, the Democrats are looking at picking up a lot of numbers in this. So this is you feel like this is definitely a seat that you could win, correct?
Yeah, I definitely think that the seat is winnable. The last election was decided by less than 1%. I believe it was 121 votes.
Wow.
Difference that was made within that election. And, you know, the seat was held for 14 years by a Democrat, Joe Atkins. And so I think that this is definitely a winnable seat.
And when you look at the Republicans, because, I mean, let's as much as they're trying to play what they just did at the state capitol as, you know, politics and as normal, it's not. I mean, I was looking at the ag bill that they just put out there. They put a poison pill in there to try to force Governor Dayton to sign it, saying that if he didn't sign it, the nitrate standards were going to get removed. So basically, because Governor Dayton just vetoed that bill, the water quality standards in outstate Minnesota because of nitrates are now in the groundwater are now going to go away. I mean, I just who does this? I mean, these are really, and I know that this is me saying this, there are some real horrible people in the Republican Party that are trying to do some real evil things, and I think we need to get rid of them and get some common sense, rational thought processes back when it comes to making laws in the state of Minnesota.
Well, I think one of the things that Minnesotans are really seeing what's happening right now, when we have bills that are advancing through the legislature, I mean, we have, you know, we have policies that talk about like one subject, you know, per bill. And we see what happens when you have 900-page yeah. bills that have tons of things in them. It creates an untenable situation in many ways. And, you know, the work that I have had the opportunity and the privilege to do within within the community, it really has been bipartisan work. And when you're thinking about water quality shouldn't be a partisan issue. No. Everyone wants clean water, right? When we talk about safe schools, everyone wants their children to be safe. And so I think it's really important that we get back to the end goal. And how do we get there? And definitely it's going to take compromise. But I think it's really important that we have people in the legislature who can work across the aisle, who can work across ideology, because ultimately it's all about getting things done for the families that live in Minnesota.
And that's not saying that you're not going to be a Democrat. Of course you're going to be a Democrat. But the current system is, you know, we're not going to show you what the bill is. We're not going to tell you what it is. Here's 990 pages. We vote in 2 hours. And you know, that's not legislation. That's basically a ransom note.
Yeah, and I think that what, you know, it was trending this weekend, just the thought process of, you know, receiving a bill at 7 p.m. and, you know, having a vote just a few hours later. And what we really, I think, just want to keep in mind is, how do we do work at the legislature that is going to build a stronger Minnesota? And I think if everyone comes to the Capitol with that at the forefront of their mind, we'll be able to work through many of these things. But it's important that people keep that end goal in mind, because it's not about us as individuals. It's about our whole community.
What would you like to bring to 52B? What would be the issues you'd like to champion in St. Paul at the Capitol?
You know, there are lots of issues that I would like to champion. You know, thinking about politics are often very personal for people. And some of the personal issues that I really see as part of my vision is thinking about things like supporting small business and development, economic prosperity, not just for a few, but for everyone. Safe schools is another huge issue as well. I have a number of youth who are volunteering on my campaign, and they have been just such great advocates of pushing forward for that issue. And healthcare is another important piece as well, and ensuring that everyone has access to affordable healthcare. In my opinion, healthcare is a human right. And I think that we really need to move past the sort of system of where depending on the quality of jobs you have determines what types of healthcare you get access to. We really need to give everyone an equal opportunity to be healthy in our state.
Amen to that. Absolutely. I mean, we have the greatest healthcare on the planet. It's just, it's not, the problem isn't quality, it's accessibility. And the reality is, in a country where we have people dying of treatable illnesses, that's unacceptable considering how good our healthcare system is.
Exactly.
I want to go back to small businesses, because you, of course, the 52B, as you described, Invergrove Heights, Northern Eagans, that the Southeast Metro, this is a region which has grown dramatically. And it is at that point where, as you talk about small businesses, this is where we need to start encouraging that small business as it grows as part of individually as communities, but as part of the larger metro area. What are some ideas you have for sparking the small business growth in that district?
Well, one of the things that I really learned when I worked at the City of St. Paul, I did a lot of work in terms of really helping to grow and develop small businesses, and also part of the state's urban initiative board. And I think one of the most important things that we can really look at doing when we're thinking about supporting small businesses, the technical assistance pieces out there are invaluable. And when you think about the fact that the vast majority of businesses that start fail, it's very important that we are providing technical assistance, and also thinking about access. access to resources for these businesses to be successful. Because what we know is when small businesses thrive, they're often doing a lot of their work locally. Their dollars are being poured back into the community. And those are the bridges that help to build a stronger district and a stronger state overall.
Ruth Richardson for House 52B. Once again, this is the point, Ruth, where I make the plea to everyone out there. I want you to go help your local Democrat. That's by all means, help your local Democrats get elected. But this summer, I want you to find five Democrats running in current Republican districts and help them any way you can, whether that's door knocking, making phone calls, making a donation. It doesn't matter. We need to take back the Minnesota House. It is very attainable with these metro area Republicans who are incredibly vulnerable. They're not caring about their districts. They're only caring about what Kurt Daut tells them to care about. Hence, we can win those seats. Ruth Richardson is running for 52B. That's a seat we can win. If you would like to help out Ruth, it's ruthforhouse.com, right?
That is correct.
Ruth,
you can say it twice.
ruthforhouse.com, RUTHFORHOUSE.com. I will link Ruth. I'm going to link to everything a little bit later on, and we'll make sure we try to get everyone out to help. And once again, we've talked to some people in outstate races and outstate districts. If you want to make a trip out there, that's great. This is an easy one. This is right down 494. You're going to be in 52B. It's a piece of cake to get there. This is a great district for you to go help out in this summer. Ruth Richardson, 52B, Democrat of the day. Ruth, thank you so very much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the time.
All my best. All my best down there. I want to win that seat. 52B, Ruth's a fantastic candidate. Let's get 52B back on the side of the Democrats. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Won't you lay hands on me? Mirror my melody. Transfer my tragedy.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their 2 convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hello to everyone who's watching us on the Facebook page. That's right, you can watch the radio. Okay. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook. There's the stream. Hello, world. We're going to spotlight both of those interviews, by the way. Trace Bell, you earlier, Ruth Richardson as Democrat of the Day. Listen to those. Those will be up on the social media pages later. And also, once again, links to Ruth's page, links to Movie Sign with the Mads, links to the Mads Are Back over at River View Theater. We'll have all that as well. Gare Bear, Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
I'm Matt. Before I say what I called about, I want to second what you said about get active, door knock, phone bank, call the DFL or call one of your local Democrats and get the voter turnout because they didn't turn out in 2016. Anyways, what I called about was, it's pretty amazing what the Republicans and the Kochs have done to our country. It's amazing, the religious right-wing bigots and Israel and the Nazis all embraced Trump and the billionaires, and they've realigned our foreign policies. Our new allies are North Korea and Russia, and to hell with the Western democracies and NATO and UN, and we're the world pariah. That's about all I got to say.
Well, and I just should mention for everyone out there, Gary's not saying that himself. That's just basically he's talking about where the world's going. But he does bring up an interesting point. How is it that Israel and the Nazis are united in Trump? Doesn't that seem like you wouldn't have those two groups together? Hey, who else likes this guy? The Nazis? Well, why should we question that? We're just Israel. You know, I would say that's there's an oddity that's going on. We are in strange days indeed. Which brings up some veto news. First of all, AP reporting that Governor Dayton has vetoed the bill that would have allowed Enbridge Energy to bypass the state's Public Utility Commission and proceeded with replacing its aging Line 3 crude oil pipeline across northern Minnesota. Dayton carried through on his promise to veto the veto. The Democratic governor said in a letter to the Republican Speaker Kurt Dowd that the bill preempts the longstanding PUC process. Basically, what it is the Republicans are trying to push this through without any kind of oversight whatsoever. Henceforth, the governor said, no, we're going to have oversight when it comes to pipelines. And if you want to get, why are you against that? Stop leaking oil everywhere, you clowns. Then we might actually trust you. But you guys are, it's like a sprinkler on some of these pipelines. And then it was only 3 ounces. And then when we said it was 3 ounces, what we meant was 1,000 gallons. When we said 1,000 gallons, that was actually 5,000 drums of oil. So just apples, oranges. I don't trust you guys. Not because I'm a mean-spirited man, but because you've lied and lied and lied and lied about the safety of your pipelines. That's on you. That's not on me. So you were wondering where we would find the first case of the Republican Party being jackasses and trying to force Governor Dayton's hand so that he wouldn't veto a bill which he already promised he would veto because it was full of stuff that he didn't want in it. And I give you the ag bill. The omnibus ag bill was vetoed. The move comes on the heels of last-second resolution by the House Ag Policy Committee to block the implementation of the nitrogen rule developed by Minnesota Department of Agriculture under the Groundwater Protection Act if Dayton vetoed the bill. So I want to stop right there. What the Republicans said was this: if you don't sign this bill, then by proxy of your lack of signature, we're going to negate the nitrate rules developed to prevent the groundwater in rural Minnesota from being poison. What the hell? What kind of evil, twisted Bond villain crap is that? Mr. Bond, here's the deal. Either you cooperate with what we say, or we're going to poison the groundwater in outstate Minnesota. You pathetic jackasses. Every one of you on this committee that put that in there. First of all, you little boo-boo kitties on the Republican Party side, all upset because Governor Dayton's trying to overrule the legislature. He didn't try to overrule the legislature. The Supreme Court said it was within his power. Meanwhile, you clowns keep trying to do this, where you're trying to force his hand, get a signature on a bill by putting a poison pill in there. Unfortunately, you actually put a poison pill in there. You're poisoning the groundwater, and this was your little spat in case he didn't sign off on the bill? Now you clowns got to go back and explain how you, not Governor Dayton, how you decided to put that in the bill. So you made the decision that if he didn't sign it, it was going to get rid of the nitrate quality standards in the groundwater, so you're going to be able to poison the water in rural Minnesota. Thanks to the Republican Party. Wow. Seriously, what is wrong with you people? You bitter, angry trolls, man, dude. You better sign the ag bill or else we're going to poison the water hole. Well, I'm not going to sign the ag bill. We're going to poison the water hole. I mean, are the Republicans running back to their districts getting ready to pour gasoline into the water reserve? Teachers, a governor is listen. God, you guys are pathetic. You guys are absolutely pathetic. The House Ag Policy Committee adopted the resolution Sunday that may block controversial groundwater protection rule from taking effect until the end of next year's legislative session. The resolution relies on the state statute signed into law by former Governor Jesse Ventura in 2001 that has never been before used. It allows standing committees in the House and Senate with jurisdiction over the subject matter of the proposed rule to prohibit an agency from adopting the rule until the legislature adjourns the annual legislative session that began after the vote of the committee. The Senate Agricultural Rural Development of Housing Policy Committee approved the resolution Saturday night that basically got rid of the resolution that delays the nitrogen rule. The approved resolution approved Sunday may still allow for that compromise. One of the clauses requires the committee chair to satisfy the statute's notification and publication requirements. Representative Paul Anderson, Republican from Starbuck, chair of the committee, said he would offer Dayton whatever assurances are needed that he would not make the necessary notifications if the governor agrees to sign the standalone omnibus agricultural financial bill, which has already been passed by the legislature. It contains language supported by Anderson that would return control of the soil loss index from the Board of Water to the soil resources in the counties. It's been my hope that the governor would compromise with us and sign the ag policy bill. No, okay. No, it's not. No. Anderson, shut up, Senator Anderson. Or excuse me, Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, shut up. No, it wasn't. And here's how I can tell you this is not the case. If this was really about compromise, you wouldn't be sneaking the Bond villain crap into the bill. Tell you what, Mr. Bond, you sign the agricultural bill or we'll release sharks in everyone's kitchen. What's wrong with you people? This wasn't an honest debate. This wasn't compromise. This wasn't bipartisan. This was your little pathetic child mentality where if you don't do what we say, we're going to take our jacks and go home. Only this time it's we're going to take our jacks and go and pollute the water supply of outstate Minnesota with nitrates. Ha 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 ha. How pathetic are you people? And now you are the ones that get to go and convince Governor Dayton to beg him to put you back into session so that you can undo this. Don't get me wrong. In some areas of outstate Minnesota, Republicans are, well, Governor Dayton didn't allow the nitrate rules to kick in. No, he didn't. They tried to put a poison pill, quite literally a real poison pill in the ag bill, and Governor Dayton has called their bluff. And of course, we knew this was coming when after they tried to do the whole thing with defunding the Department of Revenue if Governor didn't sign the last budget bill. So the question then becomes, what else did these Republicans, what other Bond villain additions did they put in these bills that if the governor vetoes them, what, we're going to shut down all the parks in the state? That we're going to make it illegal to go in a body of water? You're going to make the twins move? What'd you do? Republicans, you guys seriously need to go talk to a counselor. You got some mental issues, all right? McEntee's up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.